أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهديني وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم يرجعون. بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين. ولما جاءهم الحق قالوا هذا سحر وإنا به كافرون. وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم. أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك، نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا، ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا، ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون. Behold, Ibrahim alayhi salam had said to his father and his people, indeed I clear myself from your worship. I worship the one who has made me, and without doubt he will guide me. He left it as a word to endure in his generations, in his progenies, that they may come back. But the fact is this, that we have given these people and their fathers the good things of this life until the truth has come to them and the Rasul making things very much clear. At length, when the Rasul had come to them and the truth had come to them, now, their whole strategy changed and they say, no, this is just sorcery and we reject it outright. Further they say, why is not this Quran sent down to a leading person from either of the two great cities, Mecca or Taif? Do they portion out and distribute the mercy of your Rabb? It is we who divide and distribute between them their very livelihood in this life, and we raise some above others in ranks, that some may demand and command work from others. And the mercy of your Rabb is far better than what they amass. When the kuffar are invited towards the true deen, to oneness of Allah Ta'ala, they remain stubborn of their ways and they say that we will follow our ancestors. We will hold on to ancestral worship. So Allah Ta'ala explains to them, if it is that you hold on to ancestral worship and this is your style, then look at your undisputed ancestor that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. You adore him, you look up very much towards him, and he is a precedent in your life. So there are two things that you need to reflect over in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. One is this, that he gave up the ancestral cult. Though he was living amongst people, amongst families and people that were polytheists, idolaters, but he had given up this cult to accept the one religion that was true and that was straight. So this is the one thing that you need to reflect over, that if it is Ibrahim, if it is your ancestor that you are so much indebted to and committed yourself to, then this is your undisputed ancestor. You hold him in high esteem and he had given up this cult. Number two, the other thing that is very much prominent in this style, in this way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is he didn't keep this, he didn't leave this as a secret. Rather, he announced it. impressing upon us that when we are surrounded in a surrounding of disbelief and wrong, then we clear our stance rather than remaining in between, neither here or there. Then we clear our stance and we make it clear that this is our style. We clear ourselves from the wrong and the evil and the filth that you people are in, and we're coming towards oneness of Allah Ta'ala, the purity of deen, the purity of the mind. So this announcement has to be made clear, lest you avoid, lest cause people some type of doubt and confusion that what is your true stance. The third thing that we understand also is that he made the point that this same concept must remain amongst the progenies to come. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ. That it wasn't something that he had held on to himself, but he made it as a policy and a culture that must remain in the generations that will come thereafter. A style, a way, a standard that will be followed by the people that will come thereafter. So he lived for it, he spoke about it boldly and openly, and he allowed it to endure in the generations to come thereafter, impressing upon us that we also need to do the same with our children, our friends, etc. One is we make our stance very much clear ourselves from the wrong, people of wrong, and worshippers of wrong, adhere to the truth. And number two, let this be the standard that will remain and endure in our generations to come. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And now that the argument is very much clear, that if you are so much for ancestral worship, then why not follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he is your undisputed leader, you all look at him with high esteem, and why don't you follow him? Now, when this argument can no more hold, that we are holding on to ancestral ways, now the whole strategy changes. Now they say, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. If this is a Qur'an, a word of Allah Ta'ala, then why isn't it sent down on a prominent person from either of these two great cities? Two great cities would refer to Mecca and Taif. The Arabs, these were two very prominent and great cities. So it must be a prominent person, wealthy person, from either of these two cities. Why isn't that person appointed? Why is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed? So the whole strategy now changes. So Allah Ta'ala asks, are they in charge to distribute the mercy of your Rabb? As far as the very livelihood is concerned, even this livelihood, it is we that divide it, distribute it amongst them in this life, raising some above the others in stages or in ranks, that some may command work from others, some may make others subservient to themselves. So this is how the whole administration of the world works, that there are capacities and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread amongst His creation, but rather than giving it equally to all, then He gives these favors differently. To some He gives more, and to some He gives less, as far as the capacities are concerned, intelligence is concerned, wealth is concerned. Then Allah Ta'ala grants it to different people in different levels, some to the higher levels and some to the lower levels. One important reason for this is that one may be able to command work from the other. And all people being one and the same in intelligence, capacity, capability, wealth, etc., all were identical, then none would have been able to command work from the other. So Allah Ta'ala styled this not because of any virtue and significance, but so that this world administration may go on smoothly. And as far as the world and the comfort of the world is concerned, it is contemptible, it's got no value, no price in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Were it not that mankind would have become one single evil way, then would have granted to those who reject Allah Ta'ala homes with silver roofs and staircases of silver to and staircases of silver to ascend upon, and roofs of silver for their homes, and couches to recline upon, all of silver or gold. And all these are nothing more than the comfort and the convenience of this temporary life. So this is nothing to glorify, nothing to gloat and bloat about, nothing to boast about. This is a divine distribution just for the smooth administration of the world. And if it were that this was something significant, then we'd have given these people silver homes, silver and golden homes. There's nothing to gloat, nothing to boast about. It is just a temporary convenience. And the thing to really look upon and to work towards is the hereafter. For the hereafter is for the righteous in the sight of your Rabb. Here's the list of